Chairman. I don't have too much to say, friends. I'm a full-blooded Lincoln Indian, mentioned just previously, and I'm not ashamed to appear before you. I'd like to mention a few things that I tried to do for you people up here several years back. I appeared practically every community here in Westward about 20 years ago, asking you people to get organized. You didn't have to join the Alaska Native Brotherhood. My stand was to get you people organized. I told you that the time will come where you will be up against the wall fighting for your land rights. And I like to repeat what some of the people that I spoke to on that trip said to me. It was very embarrassing. I took a beating. I go to one community, then the next. I would ask, who is your spokesman here in this community? Who is your leader? They would tell me. Then I would contact this person. I'd tell them the same thing that I've said. It is important that you get organized. The time will come where you will be in trouble. Then this leader, so-called leader, would say, what the hell is the use trying to help somebody that can't help themselves? That hurt me as a leader. I didn't give up. I go to the next community. Somehow tonight, friends, I feel happy. I feel I gained my goal that you are going to vote on this important issue. We didn't take the back seat while this fight is going on. Perhaps some of these people that are crying now spent too much time withdrawing and fighting each other instead of working together with 100%. That's where we lost time and contact with each other. We have no business accusing each other now. It's too late. There was only one man that I came across 20 years ago that had any sense in his head. The late Nick Gray, I think his name was. I can repeat the words he told me. He said, I fully agree with you, but do try telling my people. This is what he told me, and I agree with him tonight, the statements being presented before this important assembly. And I'm not ashamed of being a Tlingit. The reason why we accepted such small amount of money in southeastern Alaska is to carry on this battle, and we did. You ask your executive board what the Tlingit Haida has done to carry on this battle. We didn't jump on a bandwagon just because the picture was getting good. We've done our part in every way. We went right up to the finishing line. We appeared lobbying in Washington, D.C. along with your leaders. Why tell us that we're jumping on the bandwagon in the last minute? I thank you.
The Anchorage Chamber of Commerce that I just received, to the Alaska Federation of Natives, the passage of the Alaska Native Land Claim Settlement Act by Congress on December 14th will no doubt go down in history as an event of critical to the development and progress of the state of Alaska and all its people as was the enactment of the Statehood Act in 1958. Despite the dissatisfaction with certain portions of the Settlement Act by various groups within and without the state, the act represents a compromise with which hopefully all factions can live. Compromise is the essence of the democratic system, and we have certainly witnessed a demonstration of democracy in action in the passage of this bill. The Alaska Federation of Natives in general and many individual associations that make up the statewide organization are to be congratulated for the brilliantly planned and well-executed lobbying effort on behalf of their proposed provisions for the settlement. As you are aware, the Greater Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, together with the rest of the business community on a state basis, took a specific position with respect to certain provisions in this proposed settlement. In many instances, the position taken by the business community was not always compatible with that taken by the AFN. However, the positions taken by both groups were the result of honest consideration for the welfare of the entire state of Alaska and the fairness of a settlement. The time has come now to put aside any differences that may have existed prior to the enactment of legislation and move forward together as a united citizenry of Alaska, to understand the ramifications of the legislation just passed and to work for the mutual benefit of all Alaskans. Signed by Russell F. Hohen, President. Mr. Willie Hensley, Senator Willie Hensley.
I'd like to make a response to the Chamber of Commerce. No thank you for their assistance. And of course, when you're fighting a life and death battle over the future of your ancestral lands, it's not just, it just doesn't take a minute to forget all the years that you attempted to obtain a settlement for your people. And when I recall, just about 5.5 years ago, when we got together here in Anchorage in the first statewide meeting, the plain, simple concern was naturally the protection of the land from selection by the state. And our first reaction, of course, was to basically state that we owned all of Alaska. We wanted it back. We wanted to be paid for the land that was already taken. Naturally, this was impossible. The political situation is such that we could never, ever do that. The only other possible conceivable time that we could have ever done better is if we had stopped statehood, if we had been aware enough about the consequences of the Statehood Act, but we didn't know that, and we didn't fight statehood. And consequently, we got the language in the Statehood Act that said we would be protected. The state would disclaim all right or title to any of our lands. I suppose they thought it would take too many years before we ever found out what our rights to the land were. And by the time that 104 million acres was taken, what could we do but possibly go to court? And I recall the first trip that our former President Noddy and I took to Washington, uninvited. We had heard about a meeting, the board of directors of AFN, between Governor Hickel, Secretary Udall, Senator Bartlett and Greening, and Congressman Pollock. Well, they were going to reveal the initial contents of a proposed settlement that Udall and his troops were working on. So we sailed down to Washington at the request of the board and walked into Senator Bartlett's office, uninvited, and of course they couldn't throw us out. This was our land that they were talking about. And they revealed the contents of a bill. As you recall, it was very meager. They were going to use the date of taking as of 1867, as Mr. Borbridge said, $7.5 million. They wanted to have the Attorney General of the state of Alaska go to court on our behalf. And at that time, we were battling with the Attorney General of the state and the governor. Of course, that was unrealistic. Why would they fight for us? And they were going to give us 50,000 acres of trust land per village. And while it's difficult to accept the fact that with the approval of this bill that we will be signing away and giving up 335 million acres of land in exchange for specific 40 million acres and nearly $1 billion. And in respect to the region I represent, we have about 40 million acres claimed. Under this settlement, we'd end up with about 2.5. And I have to report the vote of the villages within that region, and every one of them have voted to approve of the signing of the legislation. And while I don't know how many of you recognized during the last 5.5 years, all the incidents in which it would have been possible to have moved in such a way that we would not have gotten a settlement. It was always been a battle of time and money, and it was like getting on the crest of a great wave. Once we filed for the land, got Udall to impose the freeze, while the AFN didn't have any money, the regions had no money, we had to stay on top of it. And in some respects, we've gotten almost as much as we went after initially. But still, when you look at what we're giving up, virtually every alleged Aboriginal hunting, fishing, land, or water right we are giving up in exchange for the settlement. And I think that should be understood by everyone. We did not even get a specific language allowing continued hunting and fishing purposes and protection of that. Of course, that doesn't mean that we can't do it. Fact is, I have mixed feelings like everyone else about this legislation. But yet we can't go back. We spent $500,000 that we've borrowed. We probably never put the political circumstances together yet that would get the kind of settlement that we have. Only thing I can say is that each region under this bill will be out on its own. What we do from here on is going to be something that we're going to have to do ourselves again, whether we attempt to create the AFN as a statewide spokesman and utilize it in some fashion to coordinate the activities of the regions. Otherwise, each region is on its own. And I'm not sure what the consequences of this one provision we've pushed for, the merger provision, will be. But I think in some regions that this will be something that will be considered. But I guess we'll have to work with what we've ended up with. And this is really just the beginning. Because as you well know, throughout all of Indian history in the states below, the state has been the enemy. If we refuse this bill, who knows what the consequences will be if there is no pipeline? The potential is, of course, that they could always send us to the Court of Claims, and of course that's something we don't want. We could never get land. And with mixed feelings, I have to announce the fact that the northwest region of the state will be supporting this legislation, or at least the signing of it, not so much the provisions. Thank you.
Mr. Naughty.
This is going to have an impact like nothing that's ever happened to us, good, bad, or otherwise. I keep hearing a whistle. Don't let yourself be railroaded. I move right now that we recess and don't act on this till tomorrow. It'll give us a chance to meet, discuss with each other. We've been under a lot of pressure. And like Willie, I feel we have no alternative. I admire the warrior spirit that Bill displays. I don't think that we should allow ourselves right now, when we haven't had a chance to sleep on it, discuss it with our families, our friends. Again, I move we recess and act on it in the morning.
It's been moved and seconded that we recess and act in the morning. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We'll stand in recess until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. The first order of business will be a vote on the issue.
find them anymore. Why can't you see I'm changing too? We've got 5 foot too long to end it beating wrong. And I still share too much with you. Just one great river always flowing to the sea. Just one great river always rolling to eternity. Two nations in a land that lies along its shores. But just one river, you and me. How come you shut me up as if I wasn't there? What's this new bitterness you found? However wronged you were, however deep the hurt, it wasn't me that held you down. Just one great river always flowing to the sea. Just one great river always rolling to eternity. Two nations in a land that lies along its shores. But just one river, you and me. Why can't you understand? I'm glad you're standing proud. I know you made it on your own. But in this pride you've earned, I thought you might have learned that you don't have to stand alone. Just one great river always flowing to the sea. Just one great river always rolling to eternity. Two nations in a land that lies along its shores. But just one river, you and me.
You've been listening to part one of a special on the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention held October 1971 in Fairbanks and reconvened December 16th, 17th, and 18th in Anchorage, Alaska. This program dealt specifically with the convention held in Anchorage. The special was produced by Roger and Karen McPherson for KUACFM.